Egypt Minority, a podcast for youth about the gospel. I'm your host, Jaquel, with my pastor, co-host, and dad, Sean. Hi, Dad. Okay, why did you have to start playing with your little panda toy as soon as I started doing the introduction? Oh, boy.
What are those? He was dancing.
What are those even from?
They're erasers.
Did you get them from mom?
I don't know. They're
moms. These little animal erasers.
This is your mom's office. I think I like the monkey better. I think I'm going to put the monkey up there.
So dad is displaying it on top of our,
my mic stand.
Okay.
See, this is a mic, Jaquel.
Oh my goodness.
You speak into it, this is a mic stand.
I didn't know if there was like a more technical name for it, all right? I'm sorry, I didn't want to sound ignorant on
it. It's all right. It's okay, Jaquel. You can display your ignorance for oh no!
Wow!
The monkey's down!
Wow. Forget about talking about ignorance. You just threw the monkey to the ground.
Well, I had to move my mic stand. Okay, you stay over there, monkey. Stay monkey.
How's it going, Jaquel? It's going great, Dad. Yeah.
What's new?
A little bit of this, a little bit of that.
How old's your baby?
My baby.
Baby!
When this episode comes out, my baby is 2 months old. Yeah. We're recording a week before, but
Zamos.
She turns 2 months next week.
Wow, that's exciting stuff.
It is crazy.
Wow.
Yeah, the first couple weeks felt very slow, not in a bad way, but just like every day, it just like,
every
I guess
because
I was marking how old she was by every day. It's just like, oh, she's like 4 days old, she's 5 days old, she's 6 days old. But now that we're marking it by weeks, the weeks just like seem to go. And now that like soon getting into like marking it by months, it's crazy. In case you didn't know, Dad, time flies when you have kids. Your kids just get old so fast. I mean, I'm sure you can't understand this concept at all.
I was just mentioning to your mom the other day that, like, we've been together for, like, 33 years.
That's crazy.
It's like we've been married for almost 30 years.
That's crazy.
Next year? No, 2022 will be 30 years.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. And I'm just like, man, it's, like, crazy. It's crazy, Jaquel. Trust me. Time is crazy going fast.
Well, I mean, you're only 1 year away from the big 5-0.
What? Yeah, that's right. Turning 49 this year.
Yep.
Yay for me.
Exciting times. Yep. Exciting times.
No more. Now we're almost at 1 to 50.
Yeah.
Remember you started your fun way back?
5 to 50. Now we're at 1 to 50.
All right. Oh, enough of that. You know, I'll tell you this. I like being older.
That's good.
I would not want to be a child again. Like you hear about people, it's like, oh, I want to be a child. I want to be a teenager again. Never. I would never want to be a teenager again. I like being old way better. It's way better.
Okay, so for all of our teenage
older
listeners out there.
Older is better. Don't you forget it.
Just, you know, despise your youth. And,
no, I didn't
hope it gets better when you're old.
Say that. I just like getting older. I like all the things that come along with getting older.
That's true. You know, there are already some things that I really do like being a parent a lot more than I like being a young child.
Ah.
So even, and I know my baby is just a baby, but
your baby is not just a baby. Your baby is an amazing baby.
No. Yes, she's an amazing baby.
Just a baby.
But as opposed
Jaquel,
to being
how dare you say that about
a
my
child,
granddaughter.
She's still, like, she doesn't talk. She doesn't walk.
She says, hey.
She babbles, it's true, but she doesn't say any words. But my point is,
yes.
So one of the things that has most made me feel like a parent, that also I'm like, wow, I love this aspect of being a parent, is putting my daughter to bed and then like leaving the room and still staying up. And just like as a little kid, I like hate it. I was just like, wow, I can't wait until I'm an adult and I get to be the one to stay up.
Except Jaquel. You don't stay up that much, do
it's
you?
True. I mean, I stay up like 15 minutes more, but...
Just like, in your face, Lucy, I don't have to go to bed. 15 minutes later, I'm going to bed.
But the principle remains, okay? And as she sleeps more, I will stay up longer.
It's true. It's true. It's an exciting time.
But, yeah, I mean, you know, being young, there's fun things about it. I really enjoyed, well, I didn't enjoy, but now I look back and retroactively enjoyed not paying taxes as a child. You know, that's a real benefit to being young.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, taxes are not fun.
They stink.
No.
But we still pay them, okay?
Yeah, we do.
We honor the government.
But, what?
No, I got nothing.
Yeah, that's it?
Yep.
Okay, well, I have something important to talk about. You said you had something you wanted to talk about.
I did, but it sounded like you were going to go into something serious.
Well, so. I am.
Okay.
Okay, there's something we didn't talk about on last week's episode that I know that many, many listeners wanted to hear about.
Yeah.
And it was my my Russian dinner I made.
The beef stroganoff! I can't believe we haven't given an update.
We didn't talk about the stroganoff.
No.
So, you know.
Give
you
us all the deets.
Well, okay. So, you need to cook this.
Okay.
It's so simple.
Okay, well, I'm a horrible cook and can't accomplish anything.
No, I'm just saying.
I will cook it. What are you talking about? You need to cook this. It's so easy. Even you could do it.
No, I didn't say even you can do it. You inferred that.
Well, I did not imply how easy it is.
I did not.
Just say it.
I know. It's kind of like when you say, oh, you should read this book. It's really short. It's like, because you're a dummy and you can only read short books, you dummy.
Okay, tell me how easy it is.
So it's so easy. You just cook the beef. I mean, that's obviously simple. And don't overcook. See, oh my goodness, this was so funny. I asked mom if there's anything that she would have changed about it, because the first time I made it, and whenever I make first time recipe, it's like, okay, what should I do differently next time? And and she says, well, I would have cut the beef strips smaller. And I was like, that's hilarious, because that's the one thing I would have done different. I would have cut them bigger, because of course, you know, I don't like well, I mean, it's not terrible, but you know, I like my steak medium rare.
Yeah.
And so if you cut the strips too thin, then it cooks too much inside.
So what cut of beef did you use?
Oh, what kind of steaks were they? I don't remember. I think they were like a sirloin.
Okay.
Sirloin steak. They were really good. Like when I made, so I bought a double pack, and then I used half of it for the beef stroganoff, half of it I just made steaks.
Okay.
Both were amazing. So it's really good. Now I marinated both for a long time.
Oh yeah, those were like 24
to 30 hour marinated. Crazy. But anyway, but beef stroganoff, you basically just cook the beef and then you make this broth. I mean, there's a few ingredients in the broth, flour and beef broth and sour cream and a few other things. And then you mix it all together.
With the noodles.
Yeah. Now, we didn't have, we put onions. Normally, it's onions, beef, and mushrooms.
Okay.
Over top of egg noodles. And, you know, your mom doesn't like mushrooms.
She does not.
And so
I would put mushrooms in mine.
We didn't put mushrooms in it. But, man, and egg noodles, super easy to cook, just like cooking spaghetti, basically. Okay. And then you just mix it all together.
Yum.
It was so good, man. Okay. And, I mean, like, so do you remember Hamburger Helper?
Oh, yes.
Like, that's what most people think of beef stroganoff. It's like, that's like,
bleh. Yeah, no thank you.
This stuff was good.
Okay.
I'd definitely make it again.
Can you send me the recipe?
Maybe. You can just Google easy beef stroganoff. It's the first recipe up there.
Okay. Because, you know, recipes can be unreliable.
So I know.
If you have a good recipe.
But whenever you're starting on a new thing that you've never cooked before, always make the easiest one. Mm-hmm. Don't make the most complex
one. That's good cooking advice,
right?
It really
is. Hey, and I am a good cook.
Well, because, you know, that also, that helps you build confidence in the kitchen, and that gives you more license to experiment.
That's true. And then later on, once you figure things out, then start fancying things
exactly.
up. So
so what I was going to talk about was much more spiritual.
It's not food related?
No, it's book related.
Oh, book related.
What I'm reading right
you
now.
You bookie.
So I just finished a book that I know that you and Mom are reading.
Oh, yeah.
Gentle and Lonely by Dane Orland. Man, that book is so good.
Great book.
I just wanted to mention it for our listeners because if you're looking for a good book just really encouraging, the subtitle is like Christ's Heart for Sinners and Sufferers. Man.
How many chapters in that book? Do you remember?
23, I think.
Okay. So we're at, where are we at? I think we just finished 16 and 17. So we're nearing the end.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, it was a really good book. And I mean, it's such a short book.
I know. It is a short book.
You should really read this. It's a short book. No, here, I'll tell you what I really like about it. It's not I have no idea how long the book is, but the chapters are short.
Yeah.
I love that. It's just, I don't know. It's so much easier to read a book when the chapters are short.
I know.
So,
I agree.
Anyway, no, really good book. And, you know, one of the things I really like about that book is that you learn so much from dead people.
Yeah.
Right?
He looks at a bunch of Puritans and old theologians.
Pretty much every chapter he unpacks one of them. And it's really, like, the other thing I like about that, too, is it indicates that, I mean, everything that we learn, we're learning basically from other people.
Exactly.
So, no, it was a really good book. Or it is a really good book. I got 4 or 5 chapters left, so good on you.
Yeah.
Getting into anything interesting afterwards?
Yes. Totally different pace. I'm not sure if I mentioned it to you. It is a book about the Chinese educational system.
What?
Yes.
Wow.
So it's like, as you know, I'm very big into like studying educational philosophies.
Weird.
And so earlier this year I was reading some books about Norwegian educational philosophies and whatnot. And so this book came up recommended for me on Scribd. It's called Little Soldiers. And it is this journalist. She and her husband, they're American. They move to China and enroll their son in a Chinese public school. And it's all about like what their educational philosophy is and pretty interesting, let me tell you.
That doesn't sound that interesting, but I'm going to take your word for it.
Thank you.
Hey, here's
all I was looking for.
Seeing as we're on the whole book subject, yep. Bookie, I would love to read a good biography of Winston Churchill. Do you know any?
Yes.
Yes.
There's one that Dr. Moeller recommended. That I can't think of the name of now, but he has definitely recommended one that is supposed to be really good.
Okay, I'm gonna check it out. Okay. I thought about checking out Moeller, but he's such a smarty pants, smarty McSmart pants.
I know, but he posts so much about different history books. Yeah. So
it's funny. Like here's a side note. Mm-hmm. I would prefer it be on Scribd, so I don't have to pay for it.
I understand.
And I can. There was one on Scribd. Okay, so there's this. Interestingly enough, one of Churchill's sons started a biography.
Okay.
And then died, couldn't finish it, and this other guy took over. His last name is Martin, I think. Anyway, okay. he took over, and it's so long, right?
Okay,
I mean,
yeah.
Like it's just apparently there's like books and books and books in this series.
Yeah, but, I think.
But then the guy who did that, who was like considered the official biographer of Churchill, then decided to do a one volume.
Oh.
Of it. It's 1,800 pages, Jaquel.
Whoa.
I don't really want to read one that's 1,800 pages.
What was the purpose of putting it in one volume if it's going to be 1,800 pages?
Yeah, it's a lot of reading. So anyway, there is another one that I found that's supposed to be amazing, but it's not on Scribd.
Oh.
So it's probably that one, but who knows? Okay, well, that's interesting. I appreciate that. I thought about checking with Moeller.
Just give him a call. Just
throw him a text.
Yeah.
Yo, Al, what's going on? So I'll definitely check that out.
Okay, cool.
I think he just recently published his summer reading list.
Oh,
so if you want to feel dumb, go and check out Al Moeller's.
Or if you want recommendations for like historical books.
Well, there's
he loves
that
his
too.
History.
All right, Jaquel, it's time to get into the stuff here.
It is time to get into
the
stuff.
We're way into things here. We've yammer yammered enough. It's time to get. I don't know. I was going to say something else, but never mind.
Never mind. We don't have time for that, Dad. Life
there's
is
a horse
short.
In here.
Life is short.
Life is short.
You know,
but we shouldn't just be thinking about this life,
no,
should we?
Exactly.
We should be thinking about eternity.
Right. And this life
and
is
money.
Just a blip.
Positions.
A blip.
Positions.
Right. Our positions, our jobs, you know.
All right. Enough of this terrible transitions, Jaquel. We're talking about stuff.
We are.
Right? We're talking about money. We're talking about possession.
Talking about eternity.
Okay, so we started a little series.
A little series.
It's a series. It's not a series. Who knows what it is,
just
really?
A few convos.
Way back when the dinosaurs roamed the earth, I taught a series on a little book. A little wee book, seeing as we're on the subject of books. Oh, that would have been a killer transition.
Oh, man, it would have.
Anyway, I wrote a study on a little wee book. It's just a wee tiny book. You
okay,
should read it.
We get it. It's small.
It's called Treasure Principle. And so there's several keys in the Treasure Principle concerning how to view money and stuff. And we're not talking about all of them. We're just kind of talking about the key keys.
My goodness.
Refuse the key keys. Just a couple of them. So, but key number one is where everything starts. Mm-hmm. We talked about that last week. God owns everything. And so that means you need to be a good steward of who you are. And let me iterate something. I'm not reiterating it because
okay.
I didn't iterate it on the last episode.
Interesting choice of words.
I implied it for sure when I was talking about a woman's body and her choice. Mm-hmm. that even if the infant inside is part of her, she is still responsible to God and thus doesn't have the right to kill that child. But my point is that whether this is not just Christians.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like just Christians owe everything to God. Every human being owes everything to God because God owns everything. He created everything. Like, Jaquel, right. If you go down into the workshop,
mm-hmm.
and you make yourself a little bookcase, you ever done that before?
Absolutely not.
No, but your husband has.
He has.
Right? Speaking of which, I need him to make me some bookcases.
Okay.
Side note. Anyway, you go down, you make a bookcase. Who owns the bookcase?
If I made it,
if
it
you
would
made
be
a bookcase,
me. It would
yeah.
be me.
If Joe makes a bookcase, who owns a bookcase?
Joe.
If I make the bookcase, who owns a bookcase?
You.
The trash man when he picks it up because I did such a terrible job. But no, the point is that God made everything, which means he owns everything.
Mm-hmm.
So every human being is responsible to God for what they do with the time. We talked about the three T's, the time, the talent, and the treasures. Everything that every breath they take, every word they take, they are going to answer to God one day.
Mm-hmm.
And rightfully so, because he owns towards everything. Like, that's where any discussion on money starts, right?
Yeah.
And that really should direct our entire lives, especially for Christians. God owns everything. We need to be a faithful steward. But then beyond that, you know, we don't want to just think about this life, do we?
No, we don't.
Right. No, we don't.
No, we don't. Preach it, Pastor.
That's a great point. And so that brings us to key number three. We didn't discuss key number two, but key number three in the church principle, and it's this. It's heaven, which is the new earth. Oh, man. That's like another Alcorn book. Heaven.
Yeah. Well,
man.
So we've done a whole episode on heaven. Where we talk a bunch about this.
That book is so good.
Yeah.
Anyway, heaven, by which he means the new earth, not this earth under the curse, is my home.
Mm.
And that's the point. You know, we're living on this earth, but the new earth is our final home. And I mean, like, that's something that's got to direct how we live and how we deal with all the stuff that we have.
And again, something that we think about so rarely, or that influences our life and our decisions, you know, so little, because we just get distracted and we just get consumed by the thought that this present world is my home. And so, like, what do you do if it's your home? Like, you put down roots, you like establish yourself. All of your decisions are oriented around, you know, this being your final destination, and it's not.
Well, I mean, like, I get it.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, this is what we see, right?
We forget. For sure.
We forget about eternity, and so we. The other thing too is it's like, I mean, we can't really. I don't know. It's hard to wrap your head around eternity, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Like, what does it look like that there is no end to our life? But we're in the midst of it right now. Like, that's something that we forget when we receive eternal life. We have it, right? We don't receive it later. Yeah. We have it now. And so we're in the midst of it. And so we've got to keep in mind that when you look at the time of our life here, no matter how much it is, even if you live to be over 100 years old, in comparison to the rest, you know, and when you say the rest, it kind of implies that there's a chunk that has a start and a finish, and there's not.
Yeah.
Like, there's no finish, right?
It is crazy.
So it really is hard to wrap our heads around that because, I mean, like, you know, we just can't grasp that we live in a linear time period.
Yeah, and I really like Alcorn's, like, it's almost like a deceptively simple illustration, the whole, like, line and the dot thing, where he talks about that this life is a dot and eternity is a line stretching from that dot, you know, without end to infinity. And that just gives you a tiny little taste of what it's actually like. The smart person doesn't live for the dot, they live for the line.
Yeah, exactly. So the Beatitudes are a good place to look if you want to hit some scripture on this issue.
I love to hit some scripture.
Matthew 5:3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And again, like, it's important to understand when we talk about heaven, we're talking about the new heavens and the new earth. By the way, Jaquel, great article I saw. We should actually throw this up seeing as we're talking about heaven.
Yeah.
But a great article on the intermediate stage.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to be sending it out to the church soon here. Table Talk.
Oh, cool.
Table Talk Online. Really good. Anyway, if you're going like, what's the intermediate stage? What's the intermediate period? Hey, man, we'll post that article up there. But basically, just short answer, it's that point between when you die and when God recreates the new heavens, the heavens and the earth. And we have the new heaven, new earth, and the resurrection. So what happens between when you die and when Jesus returns and raises everybody from the dead?
Right.
That's what we call the intermediate period, intermediate stage, whatever you want to call it. But scripture says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Like, that's what we ought to be living for then.
Yeah, that's our home.
Yeah, that's our home. Now, I mean, like, you know, I kind of sometimes, I don't know if we should get into this, but I kind of sometimes have a bit of an issue when we make too much of a contrast between this and then. Because, that's probably not the right way to say it. I mean, there is a huge contrast, but it's not as much, like, I mean, it is the new earth.
Yeah.
And it is the new heaven. I mean, that's something that Alcorn points to. So I think the point I'm just trying to make is that sometimes we can think, oh, that's that, so we're not responsible for what's here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, no, we are responsible for here. This is what God is going to recreate,
right.
Which is what I believe. Some people believe he's going to, you know, zap everything and start with all new material. But I think he's going to recreate what it is that we have here. I just kind of want to emphasize that because we are living for the kingdom of heaven, that will influence in a positive way how we deal with what is here.
Yeah. Well, I think this is why we had to start with the first principle, that God owns everything and he's given it to us to use responsibly, to steward and to honor him. And so just because we're saying, you know, we live in light of eternity, that mm-hmm. doesn't mean that we live irresponsibly with the stuff he's given us in this life right
exactly.
now.
Exactly. Well, yeah, no, my point is that that actually influences exactly. how we deal with this. But heaven is our home, the kingdom of heaven. In Daniel 7:14, it says, and to Jesus was given dominion and glory and a kingdom. That all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. And we who belong to him are members of his kingdom. I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah. Philippians 3:20, too, one of the most famous ones, our citizenship is in heaven. Like, mm-hmm. how much clearer can it get? I'm reminded of that verse we were talking about last week in Leviticus, where it was talking about God speaking to the Israelites and saying that they are just, you know, residents and aliens
yeah.
in his land. I mean, that kind of sums it up, that, you know, we are here to, you know, live and enjoy what God has given us and honor him, but we are just aliens here. We're just yeah, residents.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, the point is that we, if you, like Jacob was talking about the dot and the line, it is a really good illustration, because if your life is a dot and eternity is a line, which is more significant?
The line.
You know, but again, like I do want to make the point that in light of the line, that's going to influence how we live in the dot.
Right.
Right? Like
we're not saying the dot is meaningless.
Exactly.
Or purposeless.
We're saying that when you see, and this is the thing, right? Like people often say what is it that I always say? Oh, I don't like that saying.
Oh, it's when
like,
people say they're I don't want to be
too heavenly minded that I'm not earthly good. Exactly. Where it's like, no, if you're rightly heavenly minded, then you will be as earthly good as you. Yeah. So I'm like, keep your eyes on heaven. We're not trying to say, you know, eternity is important and now it's not. Right. We're saying that because eternity is what we're living for, that will influence how we live now. Mm. Like when you're thinking about how should I live for the dot, think about eternity. Right. Think about heaven. Think about who you know, whose kingdom you belong to,
yeah.
and thus who you ought to be submitting to in all things.
Exactly. And that drastically affects how you use the resources God has given you, whether it's your time, whether it's your talent, whether it's your treasure. Like, if this life is all that you have, I mean, sadly, you look at, you know, many of the richest people in the world, or you look at people in Hollywood and you see how they're spending their resources and their time, and they're just, you know, accumulating as much stuff as possible. Mm-hmm. They're just, you know, living these hedonistic lifestyles full of pleasure, because if this is all you have, then like, live it up.
Yeah.
But if it isn't, then this life, everything you do should be influenced by, you know, what makes the greatest eternal good.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's what it comes down to, is it's like every decision you make, you should have eternity in mind.
Right.
Right. Like how you spend your money and how you use your time and you know, how you use the words that you're given.
Yeah.
You should be having an eternal perspective in mind
yeah.
when it comes to everything. Like what, I mean, like there's just nothing that should not be considered in the realm of eternity
mm.
because God owns everything. And if you are a member of his kingdom, I mean, now there, you know, it is possible that there are people listening to this podcast that haven't trusted in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's possible that they're not, you know, members of the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, you know, if this life is all you've got, and you know what's that phrase? It's like for unbelievers, this world is as close to heaven as you'll ever get.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, you know, make the most of it, right?
Yeah.
Because in the end, it's going to be an eternity not of living in the kingdom of heaven mm-hmm. with God. It's going to be living in an eternity of receiving his wrath, mm-hmm. of being rightfully punished. I mean, like it's a good reminder. Like think about your eternity. And think about think about eternity
mm-hmm.
and in light of what Chikel and I have been talking about, you know, you owe everything to God, which means that you ought to turn from your sins and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He mm-hmm. has made a way for you to become a member of his family and to experience eternity in his kingdom. Like you can be transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you must turn from your sins and trust in Christ as your Savior, the one who died in your place, the one who rose to give you life, the one who rules and reigns over all, and the one who will return. And so, you know, considering eternity, like we've mostly been talking about, you know, Christians who need to be thinking mm-hmm. about eternity, and that will influence how you live. But if you've yet to trust in Christ, you know, none of us is promised another day. And so become a member of the kingdom of heaven and thus have a reason to live for eternity. Live for the line.
Not the dot.
Not for the dot. This is what we're talking about here. That's what Alcorn talks about in his book, Treasure Principle. Live for the line, not for the dot. And it's when you're living for the line that your life in the dot will all come together.
Exactly. Will matter and have meaning.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so we've got two, you know, we've talked about two kind of very general principles to help you make decisions concerning not just your stuff, but your time and your talents and, you know, decisions about college, whether to go to college or not, whether to get a job, yeah. what to do, you know, and those two things are that A, God owns everything, and thus you need to be his steward, and B, eternity is a lot longer than this life, and so you ought to be living for eternity. If you're a Christian, that means making your decisions based upon the impact it'll have for all of eternity. And if you're not, it means turning from your sins and trusting in the Lord Jesus. So, hopefully this has been helpful. If you have comments or questions, we'd love to hear from you. Where can they find us, Jaquel?
Well, they can go to our website, ageofminority.com, leave us a comment there, or email us at Jaquel or Sean at ageofminority.com. They can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, and if they like what we have to say and they want to, you know, help us out a little, just a little help. So, they can head over to iTunes and leave us an honest 5-star rating and review.
All right, I need to go get that poor little monkey.
Still lying.
I've been watching the little monkey over there. He looks so sad.
I need to go get some food. I'm hungry now.
All right, then, until next week.
This has been Age of Minority.